Dear friends, in this weekly study of Bhagavad Gita, we are in the middle of the 11th chapter, which is very important, not very difficult to understand, doesn't require a lot of commentary. It is very poetic and descriptive in nature as to the experience of the totality in one. The request of Arjuna was that, well, I understand and believe that you are Lord Krishna, you are the source of everything. Everything is contained in you. You are the very true self of everything. But can you actually show it to me? If I see, then I will very strongly be convinced of it. As we have been seeing that seeing is believing for human beings. When we see, the conviction is very strong. When I see something, it is very different from I just hear something. Because the visual perception is very strong in generating the sense of reality amongst human beings. And that is why it is called that in Sanskrit, even the philosophies are called darshanas. Darshana means seeing. You see the truth in a particular way and describe it. So the philosophers, they not only just think, at least in the Indian tradition, they perceive, they see the reality in a particular manner and describe their seeing. That is why the word used is not philosophy but darshan, means they see the things like that. It is their perception, their experience that they are narrating there. So the seeing becomes a very important part in having a true conviction. Without that, without seeing, a true conviction is difficult. And therefore, Arjuna requests, can you show it to me if possible? And then we saw how Arjuna gets a special vision so that he can see it. With our regular vision, it is only good for seeing the distinctions, seeing the variety and seeing this I and mine. Our consciousness is caught in I and mine, and this body is I, and this belongs to me, my house, my family, my so-and-so, and then we get caught up in that, tied by that. And so that vision, that mindset is not capable of visualizing the universality. And so that mindset is to be abstracted, a new mindset is to be given. And this God graciously gives to Arjuna. God is ready to give to any of us if we really seek it. If we seek, we will get it. The difficulty lies in seeking. We are so attached to our little pleasures and pain, I and mine, to get rid of it. Even mentally be prepared to get rid of it is not easy, friends. It is, we feel as if everything is being lost. What shall I do? You mean nothing is mine? Well, if you think it is, you understand that nothing is really ours. But when that occasion comes No money belongs to me, no house belongs to me. Our security, and we have kept in those things, that I have this bank balance, I have got this job, this is my house, these are my relations, and this is my society, this is my country. All this I take it as the security for this little I. And therefore when we are told, give up these limitations, give up this I and mine, perceive this totality, we are really out of sorts, friends. We don't imagine it when we seek that, well, Lord, please, I want to see you. Are you ready? Are you ready to see that universal vision? It is, as we can see here, Arjuna also gets terrified. We see the examples in Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita that when it first tries to come, a person gets terribly, shattered inside, feels that, well, everything is just getting lost. So Arjuna is given this mindset, this new eyes, so to say, the divine eyes, to see this world, this I and world, in this unified form of Lord. And Arjuna, first, Sanjaya described that vision a little bit. Now Arjuna, we are seeing that how he is seeing it and describing it. It shows how steady Arjuna's mind was to be able to handle this very new vision. It is a divine grace. And the preparedness of one's mind that makes even for a second, even for a little while, to have a glimpse of this. So Arjuna is saying that I am seeing that in your body, O Lord, I see the gods, as also all the host of various beings, Brahma, the ruler, seated on his lotus seat, all the heavenly sages and serpents. All these are not earthly things. They are very different forms. We are now attached to a kind of human perception program. It is loaded on our brains, and according to its limitations, we see a bigger, different program when it gets loaded on our hardware. The things start becoming, they start looking very different. And the first perception, as it were, the new program is just opening out. And Arjuna sees, at least the first description that he gives, is that I am seeing all these very new beings. They are very angelic. They are not of this world that we see. It is of a different order altogether. And in you, I see that so many different arms. Now, suppose all our arms, we all have, say, two arms, two legs, and like that, there are these creatures like centipedes who have 100 legs to walk with. There are some creatures, there are some snakes with two heads, and many different kinds of beings might be there which we do not know about. Imagine what kind of beings would be there in different galaxies, staying in different types of different planets. We have no idea of that. Also, those frequencies which we cannot sense, by our present sensory system, there would be so many different types of colors and different types of sounds, different types of smells, all become perceptible. And how different that world will be, just let us think of that immensity of that perception. And in one being, think of one being who has these millions of heads, millions of hands and millions of legs and millions of noses through which that fellow is breathing or whatever. See, the different hues all around, the different types of smells that human beings are not capable. Their system is not programmed to have all that reception. So, this is a very different thing. So Arjuna is trying to describe it in a language that can relate to us. So, he says that in 17th verse, I see you all around with diadem, mace, disc and a mass of light resplendent on all sides, blinding with the effulgence of the blazing fire and sun, and immeasurable. It is all immeasurable. Earlier Sanjay described this like a thousand suns rising in the sky simultaneously with all their blazing power. How that will be blinding illumination, tremendous illumination on all sides. We can imagine, you know, even these lights, if they become bright, twice bright of what they are, we will not be able to withstand it. We may be feeling that, let me close my eyes. It is, imagine thousand suns in the sky. What kind of resplendence will it be? So, it is something tremendous like that. It is blinding. And now, Arjuna feels that it is, therefore, everything is contained in that. That reality is the standard. That being governs everything. And like, one can get a little idea of that. Think of all the bacteria and other little cells in our being, all the microorganisms in our this body. Now, suppose Ram lifts his arm. Now the little microorganisms in his hand, they also get lifted automatically. Do they have any control over it? They do not. If they cannot say, no, I don't want to go up. Well, if he lifts his arm, all of them go up. So, think of that divine being in whom we all are like tiny, little tiny creatures, like the microorganisms. What do we have? Any special will of ours? So, that is all in that. So that is the supreme governor and the standard of everything. That is what makes the decisions about the whole existence. So Arjuna is now able to feel that, and so tries to describe that in our language. Tvamaksharam paramam veditavyam tvamasya vishvasya param nidhanam Tvamavyaya shashvata dharma gopta sanatanastvam purusho matome. You are the imperishable, the supreme, the thing to be known. You are the supreme resting place of this universe. You are undecaying and a preserver of the eternal religion. I regard you as the primeval being. That is how Arjuna is giving vent, giving a linguistic expression to his feelings. And see, he sees that, well, there is no end where the being is beginning, where it is ending. With this little, we do not, little perception that we have, we cannot gauge that. So he says, Anadi madhyantam ananta viryam ananta bahu shashi surya netram pashyami tvam deepta hutashvatram svatejasa vishvamidam tapantam. I see you as one with no beginning, middle or end, of infinite prowess, with infinite arms, with the sun and moon for your eyes, and the blazing fire in your mouths, scorching this universe with your radiance. That is, just imagine what will be the perception there. It is, and how terrible it would be. Arjuna, in a few minutes, maybe whatever that time he was thinking of, becomes really, becomes terrified. It is all very difficult for him to bear, even in spite of these great blessings and grace of Lord. He is still finding it difficult to withstand that perception. It is like, just as an analogy, if this wiring in our buildings is supposed to carry about 20 amperes of current maximum. It is, if you put, if you let 40 amperes pass through, they will start melting. They will not be, therefore there are in fact the circuit breakers put there, that by any mistake, if higher current starts going, the circuit breaks, so that the wiring remains protected. Otherwise it will all get melted. So, like that, you see here that Arjuna's nervous system is like wires, you know. The nerves, they are like wires. They are not able to withstand this tremendous perception, this current. So, he says in the next verse, the 20th verse, Dhyava prithivyoridamantaram hi vyaptam tvayaikena dishascha sarva drishtvadbhutam rupamugram tavedam lokatrayam pravyathitam mahatmanah. This space between heaven and earth is pervaded by you only. See, just think, you know, it is a very poetic description, but how the whole between the earth, heaven, everywhere, that one being, if you start perceiving, in which all of us are included, everything is included in it, the universe like that, can we will be able to withstand that? Vyaptam tvayaikena dishascha sarva, all directions, everywhere, you are the only being. Seeing this wonderful, terrible form of yours, the three worlds are extremely afflicted, O great soul. Affliction is because we are attached to the little perceptions, don't want to give it up. It is that I and mine, our body, the whole nervous system is tuned to that. We don't want to give it up. And so we become terrified with this vision of reality. Then, see the destruction, that what we consider here as I and mine, one should learn to see. Many people don't want to look at that, thinking that, that is a pessimistic view of life. Well, one must be fearless. The reality, the truth is truth. By keeping our eyes covered doesn't mean that we escape the reality. The truth is going to survive. Truth is going to catch up. Even though we don't want to look at it, that doesn't mean that it is going to change. As that story goes, a rabbit was being chased by a fox. And then now the fox was approaching fast. The rabbit was not finding any place to go. So it hid its head in the sand, thinking that I am not able to see. The whole world has become dark now, so the fox will not be able to see me. That is not the case. We don't want to look at the truth. Oh, it is too terrible. The reality is reality. Whether it doesn't depend on whether I like or I don't like. It is there. It is something that is just an objective fact of life. It is we all know it, but just still want to look the other way. We don't want to take cognizance of this fact that everything is vanishing. Everything is just going away. Nothing is permanent here, and yet we try to take it as if it is permanent. If we see the impermanent things as impermanent, coming and going, not lasting. They do not have anything lasting about it. And if we understand it as it is, that they are not real, they are not lasting, they are like effervescence, then it is fine. But we think that they are real and try to hold on to that, and that is the contradiction, that is the bondage that we have to be in. So therefore Lord here has shown this form to Arjuna. Now Arjuna is perceiving that amihitvam surasangha vishanti kechid bhita pranjalayo grinanti swasti tyuktva maharshi siddha sangha stuvanti tvam stutibhi pushkalabhi. Verily, these hosts of gods are entering into you. Some being frightened are praising you with joined palms, while the bands of great sages and perfected souls uttering the word peace are praising you with numerous hymns. So this is what is happening, that those who see this as reality, sages, say peace, peace, and are saying hymns in your prayers, in your praise. Ridraditya vasavo ye cha sadhya Vishveshinshina marutashchoshma pascha Gandharva yaksha asura siddha sangha Vikshante tvam vismitashchaiva sarve. All are different celestial beings. There are the celestial amusings and amusement creating beings called Gandharvas. They are always singing and dancing. And Yakshas, they are also celestial beings with different properties, magicians and like that. They are all going into you and just getting destroyed. It is everything is coming to end. It has a birth, it stays, and it dissolves. So they are seeing this and the Rudras, the Adityas, the Vasus, and the Sadhyas. These are some of them technical names, the celestial beings of different orders, the controllers of different things in this universe. They have these names in the scriptures. So we don't need to go into the details of that. The idea is all of them are seen in this universal form of God. And all these are verily looking at you aghast in tremendous wonder. It is and confusion. It is all a puzzle. The world is such a big puzzle. How the things come and how they dissolve. What is the meaning of life? All these are unresolved puzzles. And people don't want to think about them. We just say, okay, forget it. The struggles of daily life. How to earn more money and so forth. They are enough to keep us busy. It is, we don't want to think of these fundamental issues about life. But when they face us, then it is, we are just struck with astonishment. Well, I don't know what is this all, but that is the stage when we see a little bit of it, a glimpse of it, we see this. Next verse he says that Rupam mahatte bahuvatra netram mahabaho bahubahu rupadam bahudaram bahudamstrakaralam loka pravyathitastathaham. So, O mighty armed one, he says there, seeing your great form consisting of many mouths and eyes, many arms, thighs and feet, and many bellies, and fearful with many tusks, the worlds are awestruck, and so am I. That is an additional thing, that not only the whole world is awestruck, that he had mentioned, that he repeats, but also now includes, oh, not only they, I too am awestruck. And then next we will see that emphasis on he becoming very scared and awestruck becomes, that pitch becomes higher and higher. The 24th verse, Nabhaspriśam deeptamane kavaranam vyattananam deeptavishalanetram drishtvahitvam pravyathitantaratma dhritinna vindamishamam cha Vishnu. O Vishnu! See, now he is not calling him his friend Krishna, but Vishnu. Because he is seeing that form, that Vishnu is the, etymologically it means that which is pervaded everywhere. That universal form is called Vishnu. The etymology of this word Vishnu is Vishli Vyaptatvat, means that which is pervaded everywhere. Everything is included in that form. So that is Vishnu. So he calls him Vishnu. O Vishnu, seeing you touching the sky, blazing of many hues, with gaping mouths and large fiery eyes, I am frightened at heart, and I feel neither fortitude nor peace. It is so difficult. And now he is... we generally, in the beginning, do not like to admit that I am afraid. Our ego tells the people get afraid, you say. I am okay, I am not. But then later on, the things become so apparent that you start saying, I am not speaking only about others. I too am scared, and quite natural, friends. It is even seeing a tiger. One of the very famous tiger hunters who lived in India in the late 19th century, early 20th century, he wrote about the tiger hunting, and he said that it is, if somebody really sees a tiger, seeing a tiger in a cage in this or in the circus, that's a different thing. But in a forest, if you see a tiger and a person is not scared, then that person must be either God or stark insane person. It is impossible. Even by looking at a ferocious charging dog, it is not easy to keep one's wits about. It is what to speak of a tiger. That all itself is so scary something. It is, we say, saying otherwise, it is very good that, okay, I am not scared of tiger, I am a very fearless person. As I told you a story of a little girl, very nice story, very illustrative. She was doing a little mischief that happened when I used to be in Shillong. She and her mother and all father, they were visiting, and she was a little bit throwing things here and there, and was upsetting the office. So I go, hey, if you do like this, I will tell police. And she said, I am not scared of police. Our teacher told that police are our friends. One should not get scared of them. Oh, then I thought that shot is wasted. So then I said, I will tell ghosts bother you then. She said, hey, our teacher also told us that there is nothing like ghost, it is just imagination, there is no ghost. So you are not, I am not scared of ghost, I am not scared of anything. Are you not scared of tigers? What is there? I saw the tiger, we went to see the zoo, I am not scared of tiger. Oh, you are not scared. And then I thought of saying something very funny. Are you scared of cockroaches? And her face suddenly turned, She couldn't hide the fear, just that word was enough. Are you not? Because cockroach is something that she deals with, The other thing she has never dealt with. So it is easy to say, I am not scared of them. But see, imagine even a cockroach is enough to scare, what to speak of other bigger charging creatures. So imagine Arjuna is a warrior who had faced many, many really scary situations which we will not most probably ever be facing. It is, he has gone through many, many experiences of really facing dangerous situations. And yet, he is scared and is now admitting it, in spite of the big ego, that we don't like to admit, but Arjuna is now admitting, yes, I am scared, I am not able to now hold on to this. And what he is describing now really is a very graphic description. Very graphic description. Even the description makes people feel scared, afraid, terrified. This is a very nice piece of poetry. Very intense in its creating a word picture, a graphic of intense feeling that we can visualize. दंष्टाः करालानि च ते मुखानि दृष्ट्वैव कालानलसन्निभानि दिशो न जाने च लभे च शर्म प्रसीद देवेश जगन्निवास अमी च त्वां धृतराष्ट्रस्य पुत्रा सर्वैः सहैवावनिपालसङ्घै भीष्मो द्रोणः सूतपुत्रस्तथासौ सहास्मदीयैरपि योद्धमुख्यै वक्त्राणि ते त्वरमाणा विशन्ति दंष्ट्राः करालानि भयानकानि केचिद्विलग्ना दशनान्तरेषु सन्दृश्यन्ते चूर्णितैरुत्तमाङ्गैः. Well, the description is goes beyond even what one may see in those scary movies and those ghosts and all that. It is, he says here, seeing verily your mouths fearful with teeth and blazing like fire of dissolution, I know not the cardinal points, nor do I find pleasure. O Lord of Gods, O abode of the universe, be merciful. All those sons of Dhritarashtra, who were there at the war, along with hosts of kings, Bhishma, Drona, as also that charioteer's son Karna, together with the principal warriors on our side, are entering in a rush into your terrible jaws, fearful with teeth. Some are seen sticking in the interstices of the teeth with their heads smashed. It is all the teeth, they are stuck in the holes like maybe a piece of pasta or something in sticking in the teeth of somebody's mouth. So all these warriors, their heads are stuck there. They are going into your mouth, getting crushed there. And he says it is like this rivers. He finds an analogy. The rivers are rushing to the sea, ocean, to get merged into it. So all this creation is rushing into your mouth to get destroyed. Yatha nadinam bahavam bhuvegah samudrameva bhimukha dravanti tatha tavami naralokavira vishanti vaktranabhivijvalanti. As many currents of water from rivers flow towards the sea alone, even so do these heroes in the world of men enter your mouth, flaming all round. It is, everything is getting into this your mouth, getting destroyed. This is, friends, the universe coming and going, always in the process of getting destroyed. That we say we are living, we are living, we all have no doubt about that, and we are living. And just see, what is, does it mean? Going towards death. That is what we call living. As if we are like the waters in the river. Where are they going, the water drops in the river? Though all that waters are going into the sea, definitely, today or tomorrow. So also, we are living means we are on the road. Like somebody is coming here, I get that such call many times, and I also call sometimes like that. That I have, the other day I was going to the doctor and then was getting a little later. So I called that I am on the road, I will be there in 5 minutes or so. So, or 10 minutes. So it's like that. We are all on the road. And going where? Into this mouth of death. It is. Look at that, friends. It is very important to be able to look at that. That we are going there. That is what is the meaning of this life of I and mine. The life of I and mine is like that. It is not real life at all. One of the Upanishads, very poetic Upanishad again, Kathopanishad, therefore says that those who see multiplicity here, they are going from death to death. It is seeing multiplicity, I and mine. This is I and this is mine. That means you are trying to hold to something that is impermanent by its very nature. It is just a flux, a passing phenomena. And so, it is not life at all. The life, we all want eternal life. And how do we get it? How do we get it? If we understand this, that what we presently call life, it is just waiting to die. That is what we call the living here. That when our destination comes, we get down, that's all. It is all are being accused. The death sentence has been pronounced for all of us. Only the little procedure is going on. We are in the line. And whenever that gelatine or whatever, that lethal injection or that it is done, we are finished. We are in the line, that waiting for it. And that waiting in the line is called living. In Mahabharata, a nice imagery is there. As you know, Bhagavad Gita is part of Mahabharata. A nice imagery is there. In some other places also this imagery is given, that a fellow was being chased by a wild elephant, and he was running. Now elephants can run at about say 40 miles an hour speed. So where can this fellow dodge the elephant? So he finds a deep well, and there was a rope hanging there on the well. So he holds the rope and goes down with the rope, and then halfway he sees that the well is almost dry. There is no water there. Halfway he sees that, and at the bottom of the well there is a big snake. Oh, he doesn't go down anymore. Holds there. The elephant comes near the mouth of the well, is standing there. Hey, if you come out, I am there to crush you. Hey, when are you coming up? Let me see. And now he cannot go down, cannot go up. Somehow holding there. And then he sees two mice coming and are gnawing at that rope. A white and a dark. That is the time, you know, day and night. The two mice, they are the day and night. The time is running out, you know, that whatever rope is there, that the two mice are gnawing at that rope. Look at, feel that imagery, you know, that we are running away from this elephant of this destruction. trying, finding, where can we find? Well, there is, if you go there, there is a big snake there. You don't want to get there. So somehow you are holding, and then, but that is not enough. The imagery has, you know, another aspect there. One more point, very interesting. And at that, on the top, there is a honeycomb. And at a couple of drops of honey, they fell on him. And he licked them and felt happy. So nice. They taste so good. That makes him forget the reality. So we are also like that. The little pleasures here and there are like that little honey. Wow, you know, I got a lottery. Or something is like that honey drop coming our way. So it's something like that. So this is the state that the death is the reality. And therefore we should not be thinking that it is not there. Blinding our eyes is not the way for escaping. But where is the escape then? There is the escape. There is the escape. Knowing that this is a dream. Then you wake up. When you wake up, now what happens, Naomi? You are now, you just laugh at the whole thing. This limited existence, this existence of I and mine, that is, friends, fortunately, not real Sam. Remember, that is not real. It is when you wake up to the truth of this true existence, it is, you know that, and then you are not scared of anything. It is, so Arjuna is feeling that, but yet it is so difficult to give up this attachment to this little ego. He is still not able to do that. So he says that all this is getting into your mouth, and I don't know what can be done to that. As moths enter, another example. Yatha pradeeptam jvalanam patanga vishanti nashaya samriddha vega tathaiva nashaya vishanti loka tavapi vatrani samriddha vega. Beautiful imagery again. That like those fireflies, this moth, which are attracted by the light. If you have a torch burning, they all come. Now they are going there, attracted by it, with irresistible force. And what does that attraction mean? Getting burnt, and yet they are not able to stop. So all of us are getting there, attracted like moth to this torch of reality, and are getting burnt in that. There is no escape. This reality is to be felt, that it is an inevitability. That this life of names and form, lives of I and mine, is not real. It is coming to an end. It is. So he gives some more similarly, another analogy, that you are licking all these people on all sides while devouring them and with your flaming mouths. It is, or you are eating everything. All these people are getting eaten. All beings are getting eaten. They are planets and all. They are also going inside you. not only human beings, the whole planets and the stars, everything is entering in your mouth and you are licking them with many, many mouths. Filling the entire world with radiance, your fierce glow is scorching it. Oh Vishnu, I am getting scorched. The whole world is getting scorched. And now he says, who you are? Akhya hime ko bhavanu grarupo namostute devavara prasida vijnatum ichhami bhavantamadhyam nahi prajanami tava pravrittim. Tell me who you are, of ferocious form. Salutations to you. O great God, be pleased. I like to know you, the primeval being. Oh, for I do not comprehend your inclination. It is all just beyond our intellect. We sometimes feel, let me understand. How can you understand with your little intellect? It is a part of the world. It is, you cannot have the drop in the ocean to swallow the whole ocean. But our idea is, with our little intellect, I will understand everything, whole. No, it is not possible to understand. So he confesses that, I don't get anything. Now, Lord tells him, what is all this? And that is time. The Lord speaks a few verses before again, then the Sanjaya starts speaking. So we shall discuss the statement of Lord. It is a very interesting thing there, that Lord says, I am the time. So we shall discuss that. Not next Friday. Next Friday, friends, is a special day. And Swami Swahananda, the senior most monk of our order in United States, he is visiting us at our request. He will be giving this Bhagavad Gita talk. And before that, say the time is not fixed as to when, that what time it will happen, at about 4:30 to 5 or around that time, he will take a tour of the this new construction and do a little worship where at a place where the altar is going to be placed. At that spot, he will be doing a little worship. That is on 7th Friday, the 7th of October. So, on that day, therefore, he will be giving a talk on Bhagavad Gita. Not the regular class, then will proceed later. And the Friday after that, that is 14th. Also, let me remind you before closing that coming Sunday, day after tomorrow, there is the Durga Puja worship will be conducted here. It is a whole day program from 11 o'clock till 7 in the evening. Every year we have such a program, and this year it will be in this truncated space, but although worship will be done here, and some people like now you are sitting about 20, 25, 30 people may be able to sit here, others can sit in the earlier chapel, the old chapel that is going to get emptied, and we will put chairs there as well with the video transmission of what's happening here will be seen there. So you will have the visual, and it will be audible as well. While you sit there, you can have that. So please come for that program too. Any questions? Yes, Ram.
Could you help us understand how to relate Arjuna's vision with the vision one is supposed to get in Samadhi or Nirvana, for example, how would you describe in Swamiji's song on Samadhi? So Arjuna's vision seems to be full of change and duality compared to the vision that you describe, which is changeless. So another thing is that given that this thing comes just before the discourse on Bhakti Yoga, and also at the end here, Bhagavan says how you get this very rare vision is through Bhakta tu Ananya Sakya Ahameva Vidu Arjuna. You get it through Ananya Bhakti. So does it have anything to do with Bhakta's vision of the reality and the Jnani's vision of the reality?
It is not that different. The main thing that is described here, this is a vision of Bhakta, that a devotee is seeing that this apparent duality and I and mine, that is getting destroyed. That understanding and readiness to part with it has to be there for everyone, whether one is following the path of knowledge or whether one is following the path of devotion. Even a devotee has to be strong enough to feel that presence of Lord, the presence of Lord, even a little glimpse of it, which comes with such overwhelming power, when it really comes, whether to a bhakta or whether to a person who is following the path of knowledge, in both cases, the perception of this world as we have it gets shattered. You can read about it more in Swami Saradananda's that masterpiece biography of Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna, the great master, or Sri Ramakrishna and his divine play. There he describes that in for both, whether you go by the path of devotion or by the path of knowledge, this perception of the world will have to be given up as a consequence of even some devotion of God arising in us. As it arises, this goes away. Only difference would be that for those, that is again clarified in the 12th chapter further, that for people very grossly attached to body, it is very difficult to feel the perception of God in the formless way. But even the form of God, like Arjuna is seeing, that also is very, very difficult to hold on to. That also destroys. Sometimes I give an analogy that which is just one way of looking at it, friends. Don't take it too literally. That the path of a devotee is relatively painless, like a surgery done with anesthesia. The path of knowledge is also surgery, but done without anesthesia. So most people will feel that let me have the surgery, but first thing is there, surgery has to be undergone. There is no choice about it. Whether you want it with anesthesia or without anesthesia, that is the only choice there. False perception has to go away, and it comes with a jolt. It comes with a jolt that it is gone. So Swamiji's that description, Vivekananda's description of Samadhi in that song, beautiful song, that also is like that. But this is more related, this to Swamiji's that vision when Sri Ramakrishna touched him, that came with terrible force at that time. When he wrote the poem, he was already established in that, so he didn't feel that shock or such thing. But when Sri Ramakrishna touched him first, it was just it threw him off the balance, and he screamed. So it is something like that. It is, if one wants the truth, then that which is not real has to be, friends, given up. And since we are so used to that, we like it so much, and we revel in our ignorance, want to continue to that. And that is why we have the saying also, ignorance is bliss. So when that ignorance is being taken away, we cry, literally, friends. It will come as a big jolt. And therefore it is told by the teachers that strengthen your body, mind, system through practice of austerities, through practice of surrender, follow the path shown by the Guru. Then gradually you will be able to take up that experience. Otherwise it will not be, you will not be able to withstand, you will not be able to get it also. So, and that is how it works now. So friends, let us conclude with the closing prayers.
Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarehi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvinesrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantra Tasya Namaniyani Karma Pekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.